Johnny. Yeah. Do you ever feel like that you are a victim of circumstance? Sometimes life has just got it out for you, and it's ready just to beat you down at every opportunity. You take one step forward, and then it's two steps backwards. You think you're just getting your head above water, and somehow life seems to grab and just pull you back down under. Do you ever feel like you're a victim of circumstance? And do you ever wonder, where is God in all of this? What in the world is going on? Why am I being treated this way? Why is life going this way? Why am I stuck here in this? Well, I think all of us go through that from time to time. I think that life can be difficult, life can get hard, and I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can begin to adopt a victim mentality. And a victim mentality is not for the Christian. The Bible tells us that he who is in us is greater than he that is in the world. That if you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit living within you, dwelling within you. You have the power within yourself that God will empower you to overcome any challenge that you may face. And you do not have to be a victim. Well, as we're going through the book of Hebrews, we're going to do chapter 11 today, and we're going to continue with the theme of when the going gets tough. But I want to start back here at chapter 10. At the end of chapter 10, the writer quotes from the book of Habakkuk. And in the book of Habakkuk, God is saying to the nation of Israel, "For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay." God is promising the nation of Israel, "I have promised you a Messiah, I have promised you a Savior, and he's going to come. I promise you that." And then God continues, "But my righteous one will live by what? My righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back," God says. And if you'll remember last week, as we finished up Hebrews chapter 10, we talked about there were those that were tempted to walk away from the faith and walk away from the church and just throw in the towel because life had gotten really hard. And he was that coach and that cheerleader for us. And he says, "Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It is so important that you meet with your family, your brothers and sisters in Christ." He says, if you turn and walk away from Jesus, knowing what you know now, it's going to be far worse for you than it was for those that walked away from God in the Old Testament. But then he turned and he became the cheerleader at the end of that verse and encouraging all of us to hang on because he says, "I know it's tough sometimes, but you got to keep walking in faith." And he ends the chapter this way. "But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed." That's not who we are here in this building. Who are we? We're the ones. "But to those who have" what? "Faith and are saved." You and I are those that walk in faith, and because of that, we are saved. That our salvation is by the grace of God through our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. And that's who we are, that we are now walking by faith in this world. And so today, when the going gets tough, are you going to be a victim or are you going to be a victor? Too many people in our culture have chosen the victim mentality. I call them the perpetually offended. They walk around looking for somebody to say something that hurts their feelings, and then they get all upset, and then they want you to apologize, or they want you to tell them that they're always right because you made them sad. And there's people that they just live to be upset, and they live to be offended. And they have this victimhood mentality. And you know what? It's nothing more than pride. It's, "Look at me," right? It's, "You must treat me the way I want to be treated. You must do what I want to do." And it is a cancer in our country. And sadly, there are Christians walking around with the victim mentality, and it is a cancer in the church as well. Because you and I are told that we can rise above our circumstances, no matter how difficult they are. You have God on your side. And there is nothing in this world that can defeat you. And the writer turns the page. And in Hebrews chapter 11, he goes, "Now." And that's one of those words. It's kind of like the word "therefore." But this is more of like, okay, let's pause and let's breathe for a second because I'm going to shift gears in what we're talking about. So now, based upon these first 10 chapters, of Jesus is better. Remember, Jesus is better than everything, and we're not going to go through the whole 10 chapters. And he gave us the theology of how and why Jesus is better. And now he's going to start moving into the application based upon Jesus is better. Now, we've been talking about faith. Let's define faith, he says. Faith is confidence in what we have hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients, the Old Testament saints, this is what the ancients were commended for. So he goes, now let me just define faith for you before we go any further. Faith basically is this. It is a strong confidence in a future reality. A strong confidence in a future reality. For example, about 9:30 this morning, I had a strong confidence that my wife would be at church this morning. And I had a strong confidence that my wife would be here because for all the years that we've been married, unless my wife is sick or she's out of town visiting kids, she is at church. So when I left the house this morning and I said, see you later, I did so with a strong confidence knowing that she would be here. And it's usually around 9:30, give or take. And then when she walked through the door, what happened? It wasn't a strong confidence anymore. It was a reality because she was here. And that strong confidence was built from however many years we've been married. Not quite as long as you and Don and Jovell, but we've been, and her faithfulness throughout the years. And that's what faith is. I have a strong confidence in my future reality because I know whom I believe. And I know what Jesus said when he was here on this earth. I know that Jesus, before his crucifixion, predicted his death, his burial, and his resurrection. He predicted it over and over again. And then guess what happened? He was crucified just like he predicted. He was buried like he predicted. He rose on the third day just like he predicted. And so I'm going with the guy that predicted his death, burial, and resurrection. And then when he left this earth, he told his followers, he said, guess what? I'm coming back. While I'm gone, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I come back, I'm going to take you to that country that I'm preparing for you. And I have a strong confidence in a future reality based upon Jesus Christ and what he said and what he told us and what he did. That is my faith. I encourage all Christians, when you talk about your faith, do not talk about your faith in a general, generic term, because your faith is not generic. Your faith is in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior of the world. And we have a strong confidence in our future reality. So when he says faith, it's a strong confidence. And he continues. He goes, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So we understand that faith is a result of divine assurance. Faith is part evidence. Don't let anybody tell you, don't let anybody try to cheat, make you believe that your faith is simply blind faith. Your faith is not blind faith. Your faith is based on evidence. It's based on the evidence of creation. We understand that there is a God, that there is a creator, because we're looking at creation. We understand that Jesus truly did live and die because of historical information. We understand that God is here because of science. All of these things are evidence that point to God. But your faith is not from the evidence. Your faith is when you reach out to God by faith, he gives you this divine assurance that he is there and that he does exist. Let me explain it this way. Evidence, you got two archaeologists, one is a Christian, one is an atheist, and they come upon a dig. And in this dig, they discover an old campfire, you know, the stones laying around, evidence of a fire before from ancient times. They find some ancient tools laying there, and then they find some bones of an ape. The atheist looks at that, and the atheist looks at that evidence and goes, oh, it looks to me like this is proof of evolution. See how the ape was using the tools to make himself dinner. And the Christian looks at that and go, no, it looks to me like the ape was dinner. The Christian sees, no, the human was there. It's the same evidence. But God gives us the assurance that he is there and he is with us. And then he continues. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Now today, we're not going to go through all of the characters that is written down in Hebrews chapter 11. We do not have time to go through all of those stories today. But this is what we are going to do. By the time we finish the book of Hebrews, we're going to be in the middle of holiday season, so we're going to do some holiday messages. In the beginning next year, early in January, maybe February, but right in that time, we're going to come back to Hebrews 11, and next year, we're going to go through the characters that are listed in Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to look at their stories, and we're going to draw inspiration from what they went through and how they overcame the difficulties of their life. It's going to be fascinating to go look at these heroes of the faith that he has given to us. But he starts with Enoch, and I wanted to point this out. It says, he was commended as one who pleased God. And how did Enoch please God? The way all the other Old Testament saints did. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Enoch was such a faithful man that God said, you know what? Don't worry about that death thing. Just come on home. Just like Elijah. Elijah and Enoch, God took them straight to heaven because of his faith. And he says, because anyone who comes to him, comes to God, must believe that he exists. That makes sense, right? If you're going to pray, if you're going to talk to God, you believe he exists. And that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So when you come to God in faith, that's evidence that you believe in God. But more than that, God says he rewards those that earnestly, honestly, intelligently, diligently seek him. See, our view of God, our understanding of God is distorted, and it's a bit opaque because of the sin nature. We do not understand God for who he is because of the sin nature in our lives, the sin of our culture. And we don't have a full understanding of him because it's impossible for us limited creatures living in this sinful world to understand this infinite, holy, righteous God. And because of that, so many people tend to run and hide from God because of sin. Remember what Adam and Eve did when they sinned? God came down and was wanting to walk in the garden with them. What did they do? They hid from God. And too many people today hide from God. They have this view of God that I can't really go to God because, well, he's not that interested in me, or God doesn't even know who I am, or he doesn't really care because if God cared, then this wouldn't be happening. And we have this misinformation. But God promises you this, that if you earnestly seek him, that if you earnestly, honestly desire to know God, what will he do? He will reward you. He will say, come on. Never be afraid to go to God, even in the midst of the circumstance where you feel like you're the victim and you're angry and you're frustrated and you're hurt and you might even be mad at God. If you're mad at God, tell him. It's not like it's a secret. He already knows. So you might as well just open up and talk to him honestly. God says, come to me and I'm going to reward you. Come to me. I want to take care of you. And just real quickly, kind of a side note, I've talked to people, and you probably have too, that when you try to talk about salvation and coming to God, they love to distract because they don't want to deal with the conviction going on in their heart. And one of the things they talk about, I hear, well, what about the person over in such and such part of the world that's never heard? They love to throw that one out. Here's your answer. Anybody, anytime, any place, no matter where they are in the world, if they earnestly seek after God, God will find a way to reach them. And I don't care where you are in your life today. I don't care how bad it's going for you this morning. I don't care what burden you were carrying as you walked into this room today. God is here saying, please come after me, seek me, I will reward you. And all it takes is what? Faith. Come to God in faith. Seek after him. And I promise you, you will find the answer. Now, I won't promise you it'll be the answer you're looking for, but I'll promise you it'll be the right answer because it comes from God. And then he goes on and he starts to list Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Joseph, Moses, and all of these other people that he lists in here. And I love all of these stories. And he's talking about all of these people lived and died in the Old Testament. And he says they were still living by what? Let's try it again. All these people were still living by faith when they what? Died. They were living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, for instance, when Moses left his homeland to go to the Promised Land, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. That these Old Testament saints lived and died without ever seeing the promise of the coming Savior. When Adam and Eve sinned, back all the way back, Genesis 3, verse 15, God made a promise. He says, one day I'm going to send a Savior to repair the relationship between God and man. But in the meantime, Adam and Eve, this is what I want you to do. And He set up a system of sacrifice for them. And then God continued to do these things. And He said, this is what I want you to do until the Savior gets here. And for thousands of years, these Old Testament saints lived and died with the promise of a coming Savior. And yet they never saw Him. But they never gave up because they were walking with God in faith. You and I, we look back to the cross. I personally think, can't prove it, but I think the faith of the Old Testament saints is a lot greater than our faith. Because we get to look back at the cross. We get to see what God was talking about when He made a promise of a Savior. And we get to look back with the evidence and see, oh, that's what God meant. Well, they're looking forward going, I don't understand what's going on. Just like you and I, we can't look into our own future. But we can look into our past and see more clearly. But you and I are walking with that same kind of faith because just as the Old Testament saint was looking forward to the time when Jesus would come the first time, you and I are walking in faith as we look forward to Jesus coming back the second time. And the second time when Jesus comes back, He's not coming back to be crucified again. He's coming back to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords and to set things right on this earth. And I'm looking forward to that day. But between now and then, you know what? Sometimes it gets hard. Between now and then, sometimes circumstances rise up and just bite you. But that doesn't change the promise that Jesus made that I'm coming back. And when I come back, I'm taking you to a better country. So we are encouraged in Hebrews 11 to keep walking by faith, even in the midst of your most trying circumstances, just like our Old Testament ancestors. And he goes, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through what? Who through faith, what did they do? They conquered kingdoms. Through faith, they administered justice and gained what was promised. Who shut the mouths of lions, that's Daniel, quenched the fury of the flames, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they escaped the edge of the sword. And I love this phrase here, whose weakness was turned to strength. And who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. And how did they do all of that? Through faith. Not good looks. Not their brilliant military strategy. As a matter of fact, many times the military strategy that God gave out did not make any sense. Go ask Gideon how he went from 30,000 soldiers to 300 soldiers. And God said, there's your 300, go. And guess what? God won the victory. And on and on and on. It was their faith that empowered them to rise up and to continue to overcome. But it gets even better. He says, women received their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. There were those given an opportunity to renounce their faith, but they said, I am not giving up my eternal soul just to have an easier life here in this world. That I will never trade the eternity for the temporary. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonments. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. Tradition tells us that the prophet Isaiah was sawn in two with a wooden saw. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that together with us would they be made perfect. These Old Testament saints faced many things that you and I will never even come close to facing. Yet they got up and they kept going and they kept walking in faith through persecutions, death, imprisonment. Yet they kept preaching the truth and they kept walking in the truth. These are the Old Testament saints that we need to be telling our kids about. These are the people that we need to be reminding people of. These are the stories that we need to remind others of. These are the true heroes. We all like a good hero story. You like a good hero movie from time to time, do you not? Those hero movies, they all have one thing in common. Not all of them are good. We watched one last weekend. It was terrible. It was okay to watch. It just was a dumb storyline. But anyway, we'll not go there. Yeah. Everybody's going, what movie was he talking about? Everybody, Wonder Woman 1984. She's just laying around. Well, just give up your wish and the world will be great. I'm sorry. That's not how it goes, right? I like the hero story, but you know what I'm not. The hero story, the good guy, he gets up and they're in the fight with the bad and the evil. And what happens to the good guy? He always gets knocked down, does he not? And sometimes he gets knocked down over and over and over again. I'm like, okay, come on. I got the picture. Can we move on to the next scene, right? But the hero gets knocked down. He gets beaten up. He struggles. He can't make it. And then all of a sudden, some way, somehow, he gets infused with the second wind and the power. And he rises up. And he conquers the villain. And aren't those great stories? And they inspire us and they motivate us. I was talking this week to Dale. I hope I got the end of the story right. How many remember the movie Rocky? I mean, now we're going way back, are we not? If you haven't seen Rocky, spoiler alert, but I figure that's on you if you've not watched it by now. At the end of the movie, if I remember right, he's fighting Apollo Creed. Apollo Creed never been defeated, right? And he knocked out all of his opponents. Rocky just wanted to get to the end. When he gets to the end, he gets to the 15th round, and he got knocked down over and over again. You remember his eyes all bruised up and it's closed, and they had to cut his eyebrow, and he's going, "Yo, Adrian," right? And all of that. And he gets back up, and just stay down. And Rocky's like, no, and he gets back up. And in the end, he loses by a judge's decision, but he didn't get knocked out, and he was happy. Sometimes life just pounds on you. And life's saying, stay down. But the believer says, no. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And we need to be reminding ourselves of these stories of these Old Testament saints. And we need to be telling our kids the stories of our modern day saints, of the Billy Grahams of the world, and the Charles Spurgeons, and the Jonathan Edwards, and Jim Elliot, the missionary who got killed by taking the gospel to tribes in South America, and Corrie ten Boom, who suffered so much, and Mother Teresa, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who stood up to Hitler, and all of these amazing men and women of God who have done wonderful things for the eternal kingdom. And stop glorifying the Taylor Swifts and the Tom Bradys and the LeBron Jameses and whatever your favorite actor is. The only one I can think of is Rocky. Sylvester Stallone. Oh, John Wayne. I mean, they're fine. But man, those are not the stories that inspire us to eternity. My friend, life can knock you down, but you do not have to stay down. You keep getting up and you keep putting one foot in front of the other and you keep walking by faith. But are you going to play victim in life or are you going to be a victor? Are you going to succumb to your circumstances? Or are you going to tell Satan and your sin nature in this world, not today? I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk by faith. The writer of Hebrews told us, guess what? The Old Testament saints, you know why they had to wait? Because God had a plan. And in God's plan was the cross. And in the cross was salvation for the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. And they had to wait on us to see Jesus so that they could be made perfect together with us. The Scriptures tell us that Jesus is coming back one day. And when He comes back, the tribulation starts. And when the tribulation starts, He's going to begin to put things right as God pours out His wrath on this earth. But even in the midst of God pouring out His wrath on this earth, there are going to be multitudes of people saved. They're called tribulation saints. And so one day, in a glorious future, the Old Testament saints, together with you and I, the New Testament saints, are going to be joined with our future family, the tribulation saints. And we are going to gather around the throne of God. And we are going to praise and glorify and worship our Creator in heaven. And God has promised you and I that He has a country and a future for us that is beyond your imagination. But in the meantime, life gets hard sometimes. Do not give in to the victim mentality, because you are a conqueror. I want to close with this passage of Scripture. As Hebrews 11 is one of the most known passages, so is Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, "All things work together for good to those who are the called according to God's purposes." That God can work out your circumstances for your good. And then he starts in verse 31. "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.' But no, in all these things we are more than what? Conquerors through Him who loved us." Let's read that verse together. "In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." You are a conqueror. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You are a conqueror. You are a victor. Rise to the challenge this week. Walk by faith. And as we close, I'm going to ask Rob, he's going to come. He's going to play and sing a song for invitation. I'll ask Brother Donald and Miss Jovella to come. They're going to be here to pray. I got a challenge for some of you out there. How do you expect to be a victor out in that world if you can't be a victor here in church? Many times God has spoken to your heart, but yet you're too afraid to get on your knees in front of somebody else and confess. God has called you to rise up and be a victor. God has called you to walk by faith. And Bree, you can go. We can get ready for our baptism. I'll get ready as he plays. I have a question for you. In your future, when you're looking back on this moment in your life and this part of your journey, maybe you're telling your kids or your grandkids about it, but in the future, when you look back on this part of your story, what story do you want to tell? Do you want to tell a story of how life got hard and I quit and gave up? Or do you want to tell the story about how God raised me up and made me victorious through Jesus Christ? I didn't give up. I didn't give in. I got back up and I rose victorious. What story do you want to tell? Father in heaven, I thank you for the example of our Old Testament saints. I thank you that it is by faith we are saved and it is by faith we walk in this world. I pray, Lord, that hearts will respond to you, that this week we will live a victorious life and that we will put off the old victim mentality. God bless us as we continue our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.